Behind the Scenes, April 17th, 2005.
Transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters.
This is Behind the Scenes, an inside look at what it takes to put together a podcast and make it work. Check it out.
All right, hey, I'm back. If I can steal a line from the podcast brothers, this is Craig Patchett, and this is Behind the Scenes, and it is April 17th, 2005. And believe it or not, I started recording this show back on February 28th, which is now, a month and a half ago, and I'm not even going to go into what's happened over the past month and a half. I have managed to get together two shows since then. If you haven't heard them, then go visit the homepage at www.btscast.com. But now I'm back in front of the mic, and I have to tell you, this is my favorite place to be. I love putting this show together, and I'm hoping that all the distractions are now out of the way, and we can start doing this on a more regular basis. So this show is going to be somewhat of a hodgepodge in that I had about half a show recorded before I got off on these distractions, and I don't want to waste what I put together. So most of the show is going to be pulled from those recordings, and I've recorded also some pieces in the car with my headset mic over the past few weeks. So I'm going to throw together a show with stuff that I recorded over the span of 6 weeks, essentially. And so the quality is going to be all over the place. You're going to have stuff off the headset mic. You're going to have stuff off the studio mic. You're going to have stuff off of various settings that I've been playing around with in the studio setup over the past 6 weeks as well. I've actually changed my studio setup slightly. Now, instead of coming from the 286A vocal processor into the iMac, I'm actually going from the mic into a Mackie 1202 VLZ Pro mixer with the DBX286A plugged into the channel insert for the mic channel. And then the mixer is coming out of the tape out into the iMac, still through the Griffin iMic. The reason that I'm doing that is because I have additional mics for my daughter, Rachel, for her show, Rachel's Choice. And I also have a friend who's going to be doing some music recording with me. He's going to be recording the music. I'm going to be recording talk show format with him. And so I'm going to need to be using up to three mics at once, and therefore I need some way of bringing those mics in, and a mixer is the only way to do that, or the easiest way to do that, I should say. So picked up the mixer for a great price, also picked up a DBX 266XL dual compressor that I'm using in conjunction with the 286A. So I've got three mic channels on the mixer that I'm using. The first channel has the 286A plugged into a channel insert. The second and third have the 266XL plugged in. And then the whole thing just comes out into the Mac. And then the Mac comes out into the tape in for the mixer. And then that allows me to monitor both the mics and the Mac through the headphones plugged into the mixer. So it's a pretty cool setup. It gives me the advantage over the Mac of being able to monitor the sound from the mics without any delay. And because I'm using the DBX outboard boxes for effects, or at least for compression, I can monitor the actual sound without the delay. And that's one of the two reasons why I ended up getting the outboard boxes, the DBX boxes, because I wanted to be able to monitor the sound without that delay that you get if you try to plug headphones into your computer and monitor that way. There's no reason why you need to have an external compressor or an external vocal processor. You can do everything that these boxes do inside your computer using effects plugins. And in fact, in a future edition of Behind the Scenes, we'll be talking about that and talking about how to use plugins, what plugins are available, and how with a program like Audacity, you can actually set all of this up for free and get a sound quality that is very close to what you get with the external boxes. And at the same time, we'll also talk about a plugin that, while it's not free, gives you the same capabilities of having thousands of dollars of external boxes for a small fraction of the price. So if you go to several different podcaster sites and look at their podcasting rigs, you'll see that they've got these boxes or those boxes, and all you have is a USB mic plugged into your computer. Don't worry about it. You can get very close to the sound that they're getting without having to have all that equipment, and all you need is a mic. If you have a limited budget, put the money that you have into the best mic that you can buy. Buy used, if you can find a good used mic available, you'll be able to get a much better mic than you would if you buy new. And just let that be your primary investment. Everything else, with a little bit of hunting on the web, you'll be able to find for free. And with that, I'm going to launch into the show. This show is unique in that it's going to cover some basics. And I've heard over the past few months, both in some podcasts and also on some of the discussion areas for podcasting, that Behind the Scenes is a podcast for people who are just getting started out in podcasting. And while that's true, it's certainly not limited to beginning podcasters. There is material in Behind the Scenes for beginners, for intermediates, for advanced podcasters. And while this show in particular is going to focus on some of the basics, I would encourage you, no matter where you are in your podcasting experience, to listen to it. Because while I refer to these as duh points, in that they should be obvious in a lot of cases, they may not be things that you've thought about and applied to your podcast. And it's a good checklist to go through and just make sure that you're following these in your own show. Because if you aren't, you should be. And making a few little tweaks here and there is going to make your podcast a lot better. And that's really an essential thing to be doing right now, as the number of podcasts grows exponentially. And it's really important to make sure that you stand out from everybody else. So give it a listen, and hopefully everybody will get something out of what's ahead. So bearing that all in mind, let's find out what the show has in store for us. What I do want to talk about in this show is kind of a follow-up on something we talked about in the interview with Matthew Bischoff a few shows ago, and also something that was brought up by a listener in a question that he submitted in an audio comment regarding the process of putting together a show, the process of making sure that your show is something that's original and something that people want to listen to. So we'll talk about that and go into a little bit more detail on that. We'll also talk a little bit more about shopping for a web host, something we've touched on before. We will go into a little bit of detail about how you pick music for intros and outros for your shows, as well as sound beds, without running into trouble with the RIAA, something that, again, we've touched on before, but we'll talk about a little bit more. So with all that in mind, let's move right into the show, and we're going to go straight to our audio comment from Ray Shank.
Well, Craig, I'd like to add some questions to the pool. You have some cool intro and outro music along with some sound effects in your show. Also noticed that Rachel also had some cool cartoon and show stuff in it as well. Where did you get all of that? And did you have to pay royalties for it?
Great questions. All the music for Behind the Scenes and for Rachel's Choice, and for those of you who haven't heard Rachel's Choice, it's a show that my daughter, my 8-year-old daughter, produces, and you can find it at rachel.godcast.org. And it's actually an extremely well-produced show, and that is not tooting my own horn, because Rachel actually does the producing herself. All I do is engineer it. But all the music for both shows is from a company called Free Play Music, which I believe you can find on the web at freeplaymusic.com, and I will double check the URL and put a link to it at the show's homepage at bts.godcast.org. Free Play Music is a company that basically provides music that you can purchase from them and then use in your shows that is owned completely by them and therefore is RIAA free. Now, in some cases, you pay a one-time fee to purchase the rights to use that music and then can go ahead and play the music on your show, and that's it. You're done, you're licensed, you're set to go. Other companies, you pay a fee to purchase the music and then you pay a royalty fee on top of that. Free Play Music had an agreement with Apple where they provided their music as part of a .Mac account. I believe that agreement ended at the beginning of this year, but that's where I got their music from. Okay, I need to interject here. Since recording this, I've discovered that Free Play does require a licensing fee if you're going to use their music for anything other than personal use. For example, a slideshow to share with the family or a personal movie, again, to share with the family. Anything that you're going to share with the public, such as a podcast. For nonprofit and religious podcasts, the fee is $25 per year per song. So, for example, Rachel's Choice, which actually uses four different songs from Free Play, the licensing fee that I'm now paying is $100 per year. For Behind the Scenes, I'm only using one song with two different variations, and the licensing fee for that is $25 per year. If your podcast is commercial, you have a sponsor, in other words, then the fee jumps up to, I believe, $250 per year, although that's something you would need to check at freeplaymusic.com. So one more reason why it's important to read the fine print in the licensing agreements at the various royalty-free music sites. They also sell their CDs through their website. And again, there are other companies that if you do a search for royalty-free music, you'll turn up several companies that allow you to do searches to find a particular kind of music, and then you can download the song that you're interested in or buy a CD with a variety of songs on it. Once again, though, check your licensing agreement on the site and make sure that you know what you're purchasing. Either, you know, you're purchasing a straight out one-time fee that allows you to use it wherever you want, or if you are purchasing a license that requires you to pay an additional fee, you know what you're getting. So that's the deal with the music. As far as the cartoon clips that Rachel mixes into the intro and outro on her show, or I should probably say for legal reasons that I mix into the intro and outro on her show, I was, when I put her show together, under the impression that because of the way those clips are used in her show, that they fall under fair use in copyright law. After the research that I've done over the past month or so for Behind the Scenes, I'm not as certain as I was that that's the case, and I need to go back and do some more research and determine whether or not I still believe that to be true. I think they probably fall into a gray area, and I may end up switching them out for something else, but those were picked up off the web and mixed in. And I'm pretty sure still that because they're taken out of context and they're used in an entertainment manner that is not to be confused with their original intent and is not, you know, in any way based on their original intent, that they might fall into fair use. But obviously, I have no degree of certainty where I did before. So I need to go back and reread fair use and decide whether or not it's something that I'm still comfortable with. But that's the story behind that. So let's go to the rest of Ray's question.
Also, tell us a little bit about your show prep and show notes. How do you and others decide what to do a show on? In your opinion, what do you feel makes up a good show? Are there any specific guidelines in preparing a show? And what steps would you take in order to make an interesting show that people would come back for? Thanks.
Thank you, Ray. First of all, you assume that I have any idea how to make shows that people would come back for. But let's just assume that that may be the case. I actually recorded some thoughts on this in the car over the past few days on the commute home. And so I'm going to switch over to those recordings. And hopefully there will be some information in there that will help you with those questions. And I'd also encourage anybody else, because obviously I can only speak from my own experience, anybody else listening to this, if you have a different way of approaching your show or different information that you think might be useful, please go ahead and send it in either via email or audio comment to feedback@godcast.org. In this segment of the show, I'm going to address these questions and talk about how to create and build your show. And I'm going to break this down into two different segments. One is going to be about building a foundation for your show. And then the second is going to be about, once you have that foundation, how do you go about prepping for each show that builds on that foundation. Now, even if you have a show already going and you're thinking to yourself, all right, well, you know, let me go look at the show notes and find out where I need to skip to go past the foundation part, I would encourage you not to, because the foundation is going to cover some very basic points that I basically refer to as duh points, in that, you know, you're going to listen to them and go, well, duh. But at the same time, they should be points that are written down and sitting near your computer as you put together your podcast. And they should be points that you evaluate your podcast against, because these are key basics that all podcasts should follow and many don't. And if your podcast is following them, then it will be successful, plain and simple. And it will stand out above the rest of the pack. And as this year progresses and as more and more podcasters enter into the fray, it is going to become essential that your podcast stands out above the rest of the pack, because there is going to be competition for people's time within your topic area. There is going to be competition for people's time within podcasting in general. And the podcasts that are going to survive are the ones that stand out. And so every little edge that you can get for your podcast is going to become critical as the year goes by. And so, again, I would just encourage you, if you do have a podcast already, listen to these points. As simple and as basic and as obvious as they seem, just apply them to your own podcast. Make sure that you're following them. And just make sure that your podcast is as fine-tuned as possible. So, what are these great and worthy guidelines? First of all, when you are doing a podcast, make sure that you're doing it on a topic that you are passionate about. If you're already doing one on a topic that you're not that passionate about, become passionate about it. It is essential that you are passionate about what you're talking about, and it's essential for a number of reasons. First of all, because as you go about the process of developing the podcast and doing it on a regular basis, there's going to be a point where the novelty wears off, and your passion is what's going to drive you forward. And, you know, it's going to allow you to get past the novelty phase and into the phase where you're doing this on an ongoing basis. And it is going to also come across in the way you present your show, and it's going to come across to your listeners, and it is going to make them want to listen to your show. And that is the second point. The second point is to make sure that you communicate your passion in your show. It's one thing to have the passion to drive the show forward and to keep you going with it. It's another thing to make sure that that passion is communicated in a way that your listeners get it. They get that you're passionate about what you're talking about. And the way that you can do that is, first of all, listen to the shows that you're subscribed to, that you really enjoy listening to, and listen to how the host presents the information. Chances are they are very enthusiastic in the way that they present it. It's obvious in the way that you listen to them that this is something that they love, or obvious in the way that they speak, rather, that this is something that they love. And they have a lot of energy, probably, in the way that they're talking about it. So just listen to a few podcasts and get a feel for how that person is communicating. And, you know, if you need to dose up on caffeine before you do the podcast, that's fine, too. But just make sure that that enthusiasm and that passion comes across. So those are the first 2 points. Point number three is don't worry if you're not a great communicator. Don't worry if you've got that great radio voice. Don't worry if you're not, you know, don't have the perfect handle on the English language or whatever language you're presenting in. But do try to speak as clearly as you can, and do try to speak not as quickly as you can. The reason being is that you are going to be presenting this information to an international audience. And while they may not have a great grasp on the language that you're speaking, all of them, as long as you're speaking reasonably slowly and not, or I should say, not too quickly, then they'll have a good shot of understanding you. And if you make an effort to speak clearly and not mumble, and the easiest way to do that is to exaggerate your mouth movements when you're speaking, then there's a fair chance that they will understand you. And there's a fair chance that those who speak your mother tongue will understand you as well. Again, don't speak too quickly and make sure that you speak clearly. So, 3 points so far. Be passionate, express your passion, and express your passion clearly. The next thing is to don't worry if you're not an expert on the topic that you're passionate about. Your passion will drive you to get the information you need in order to be able to put together a show. There are people out there who are experts on what they're doing shows on, but there are also people who have enough of a passion about their topic that they're willing to go out during the week and gather the information that they need, research the information that they need in order to put a show together. So you just need one of those two things, either the expertise or the willingness to go out and put in the time to research the information. And don't be afraid of the word research. That may just be a matter of browsing the web and coming up with news items. It may be a matter of going out and interviewing people. You know, it may be just a matter of observing the world around you and taking notes. But as long as you're willing to put in the time, and as long as it's something that's fun for you because of that passion, then you're going to be fine. Finally, make sure that you don't spend more time than necessary in putting across the information that you have. Again, you are going to be competing with other podcasts for your listeners' time, and they want what you have to give them in the least amount of time possible. So there are no rules in terms of how long a podcast has to be. It can be 5 minutes, it can be 4 minutes and 30 seconds, it can be 30 minutes, 20 minutes, 15 minutes, 17 and a half minutes. It really doesn't matter. And it doesn't have to be the same amount of time every week or every day or however often you decide to put it out. What is important is that in that 4.5 minutes or in that 17 minutes or in however long it ends up being, that you engage the listener for the full amount of time, that you're not mixing 2 minutes of information with half a minute of fluff or half a minute of just rambling on while you flip your notes trying to find the next thing that you wanted to talk about. So make sure that you're organized, make sure that you're focused, and make sure that whatever it is that you're talking about is something that's either relevant to your topic or something that is going to be engaging to your listener. The time of podcasts, or the time of podcasters rather, being able to mumble their way through a podcast and just intrigue the listener by the fact that they are simply living their life out, I think is almost over, if it's not over already. You know, there is a certain amount of that left, but it's not going to hold people for long. So keep yourself focused and make yourself interesting. And again, that passion is going to provide the interest. But the passion together with the information and you have yourself a great show. So those are the four or five, I think, key things that are going to go into making sure that your show is focused, fun, and really something that your listener is going to want to subscribe to and keep coming back to. And I'll tell you right now that I have listened to shows and subscribed to shows and still subscribe to shows where I really wasn't that interested in the topic matter when I first subscribed, but because of the way that the person presented it, I ended up getting hooked and I ended up subscribing. And I've also listened to shows that were about topic material that I was interested in that I couldn't listen to. I couldn't listen to because the person was not passionate, because they, you know, were not clearly communicating. They were mumbling, or they were just, you know, going off on tangents, and I've unsubscribed to. So it really does make a difference. Now, with this foundation firmly in place, the next thing is, how do you go about putting together an individual show? How do you go about each week or each day or whatever it ends up being? How do you go about making sure that you've got enough material to put together your show? The first thing is, we talked about, don't worry about how long it is. If you end up the week with enough material to do a 4-minute show and the last 3 weeks you've done 20-minute shows, that's fine. Put together a 4-minute show. If you have a daily show and at the end of the day you don't have enough material for a show, come on, do 30 seconds announcing that there's not going to be a show today, and then hold off until the next day. The only thing that people are intolerant of is there being nothing there and no explanation for why there isn't. As long as they understand, they're going to give you some degree of slack. But I think that as long as you put in a reasonable amount of preparation and follow some simple guidelines that I'm going to discuss, you're going to find that you have plenty of material. And over the course of the first few weeks that your show is going, as you kind of get a feel for how much information that there is out there and what a comfortable showtime is for you and what a comfortable schedule is for you in terms of how often you put the show out, you're going to come up and you're going to end up going, okay, well, I thought I was going to do this daily, but maybe 3 times a week is better. And I thought this was going to be a 20-minute show, but, you know, maybe 10 minutes is more comfortable for me. And you'll end up with a schedule and a show length that will make it easy for you to put together a show on a regular basis, keep that time, have enough material. You know, what you want ideally is you want more than enough material for the show time that you've picked and the show frequency that you've picked, so that what you can put into a given show is the best of what you have, rather than, you know, trying to come up with stuff that's not that great just to fill the time. That's something that you're going to end up just kind of easing into over the first few weeks. And again, don't worry about getting everything to the point where it's perfectly polished before you launch your show. Launch your show first and then ease into it and work out the kinks as you get the few shows off the ground. It's going to take a while for your audience to find you, so it's not the case where you put your show out, everybody rushes in and listens to you and goes, you know, oh, this is terrible, and doesn't come back again. Just get the show going. That's the most important thing. Now, as far as content, you're going to find that the best thing to do is to get some kind of notebook. If you're at a computer all day, then you can do it in Word or in Notepad or in some kind of a text editor. But if you're not, then just get some kind of notebook that is easy to carry around with you, stick in a back pocket, you know, make sure that you have it with you at all times. And in that notebook, keep track of ideas as you come across them. I would highly recommend that you do this with a physical notebook, not with a PDA. It needs to be something that you can get into and out of really fast. And what you're going to do with this notebook is you are going to keep show ideas. If you are doing a topical show, then you're going to have different sections in the notebook for different show topics as they occur to you. And as you go about your day or as you go about your week and ideas come to you, then you're going to jot them down. This is just like you would do in school, in college. And you are just going to keep this idea notebook, and you will find that as you do this and as you write down, I mean, obviously what you put into this notebook is going to vary depending on the kind of show that you do. But it might include URLs, it might include news items that you've seen, it might include observations that you find amusing if you're doing a comedy show. It could be pieces of information that relate to a film or a book. You know, it really depends, like I said, on the show. But you're going to keep these things written down so that when you sit down to put a show together and you come to do your show prep, you're not going to just start with a blank slate and try and draw from your memory everything that you need to in order to put the show together. And you'll find that once you start doing this and getting into the habit of doing this, it will be really easy to just sit down, pull from this book, pull from the ideas that you have there, and get a show together. And then depending on the kind of person you are, you can either just put some note cards together and work off the note cards, or put a more structured outline together. You know, write yourself a script if you want to, although I would strongly encourage you not to work off a full script. One of the great things about podcasting is the spontaneity. And so you obviously lose some of that as you're working off a script. I am going totally spontaneous at the moment, just off of stuff that I have worked up in my mind over the last few weeks that I wanted to talk about. So it's something, if you're not comfortable doing it, it's going to take time, again, to develop the ability to do it. But, you know, just start talking to yourself in the car. You know, as you're driving, just start talking to yourself and practice doing the podcast. Practice talking through your notes, get the outline together ahead of time, and just start talking it through. And then once you sit down, don't worry about trying to do it just the way you were doing it in the car. Just start talking. And actually, that brings us to another key point as far as how to deliver your podcast. Remember that regardless of how many listeners you have, you are speaking at any given time to one of those listeners. It's very unlikely that there's going to be more than one listener listening to your podcast at a time. So when you're delivering your podcast, talk as if you're talking to one person. And that creates a level of intimacy in your podcast that just makes the person feel like you're talking to them and you're not just doing a show. And I'm better at that sometimes than I am at others. You know, I kind of just really get enthusiastic about this and kind of forget that sometimes. But one of the things that you can do is, if you are recording in front of a computer, is get a picture of somebody who you really enjoy talking to and put that picture on your computer somewhere, you know, near where you're looking while you're recording. And just talk to that picture or have that person in your mind while you're speaking. And you'll find that that really helps. It helps to relax you. It helps you not to be self-conscious about how you're speaking and, you know, what your voice sounds like. And it'll help you to sound a lot more natural, and it'll just make the whole process a lot more relaxed. And I think that about does it for what I wanted to say about show prep. There's a lot of information in there. I completely agree that it is very straightforward and very basic. You know, and that's the beautiful thing about it. Once you get this down, it should feel natural. This should be fun. This should be something that you can't wait to get home or get to the office or get to wherever you're doing this and start doing. And that is what sells it. When you listen to the podcast that you really enjoy, you are listening at least partially because that person is in love with what they're doing. And that comes across, and it's contagious. And that's all I have to say about that for now. So back to the studio. Actually, there's one more thing I need to add to that segment, and that is the use of obscenities in podcasts. And I know you're all thinking, oh man, the Godcast dude's gonna lecture us about obscenities. I knew it. It has nothing to do with that. What it does have to do is it has to do with your potential down the road for income. If you decide at some point in the future that you want to attempt to turn this into a money-making opportunity, then you're going to be concerned about two things. One is your ability to draw advertisers, and the second is your audience size, your listener base. which is related to your ability to draw advertisers. By including obscenities in your podcast, you are going to reduce the size of your listener base because there are going to be listeners that are going to be turned off by the obscenities and they're not going to subscribe. You're also going to turn off advertisers. There are going to be advertisers that are not going to be willing to advertise because they know that part of their consumer base is going to be turned off. And therefore, they're just not going to mess around with it. Whether you agree with that or not, it's just part of advertising. So there are two concerns then in terms of maximizing your ability for profit in making the decision as to whether or not to include profanity in your podcasts. And you need to weigh ahead of time whether or not the freedom to include them is worth the potential down the road to affect your income from the podcast and decide whether it's worth it. You know, you may decide right now that this is just a fun thing for you. You're never going to poison your creative work by going anywhere near advertisers, and, you know, that's fine. But if it is a possibility, then this is a decision you need to make as soon as possible. And that's the reason why I bring it up. So that's it. That's it for the show, and that's it for all my tips. I hope you find them useful. Now, if you would like to help improve Behind the Scenes and make my job easier, which means improve the chances of this show coming out on a more regular basis, then please send me your comments, questions, tips, anything at all that can be included in the show or that would help the show to become more of a community effort. Send it to feedback@godcast.org, email or audio comments, or call the comments line at 815-301-8600. That's 815-301-8600, and that is a toll call unless you're in the greater Chicago area. However, comments are limited to 2 minutes, so it's not going to be that much of a toll. Again, I would like to make this as much of a community show as possible. Also, if you like the show and you would care to vote for it at Podcast Alley, I'd appreciate that too. There is a voting form at btscast.com along with show notes and other information and links that aren't in the show. So always a good place to visit. That's btscast.com, the homepage for the show. And I think that pretty much wraps things up. So until next time, I hope you have a wonderful week and God bless.